You've crushed it. You've made millions. But let us ask you something. If you stop working today, how long would it all last? For most people, that answer, it's not great.
Right now, everything you have built, your house, your car, the vacations you love, relies on you. If you stop, the money stops.
That's exactly why we created a community for people just like you. No fluff, no hustle or energy, just real self-made millionaires helping each other create wealth that actually lasts.
Ready to build a legacy? Join us now at join.builtbeyondme.com and take the first step towards lasting wealth.
Imagine this, no more grinding for another 10, 15, or 20 years just to keep everything afloat. What if your wealth could start working harder than you do?
In our community, we'll show you how to invest in income-producing assets like multifamily properties and build-to-rent developments. No messy tenant management, no complicated learning curve, just real scalable wealth.
It's not about making millions anymore. It's about keeping it, growing it, and passing wealth beyond you.
Don't just make millions, make them last. Build a future, build freedom. Join our community now at join.wealthbeyondme.com. And that is join.wealthbeyondme.com.
My sister and I accumulated over $400 million in a real estate portfolio, yet we own absolutely nothing. And before you think I'm crazy, this is exactly how the ultra wealthy stay rich while the 99% stay broke.
Hello, I'm Pommy.
And I'm Nancy. Together we make the Kitty Sisters.
We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio.
We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment.
This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
You see, there's a financial war happening right now, and most people don't even know they're losing. Every single day, the banking system is legally stealing your wealth, transferring from your pocket to the pockets of people who understands the real rules of money. What do I mean by this? What if I told you that everything you've been taught about building wealth is not just wrong, but it's designed to keep you broke? What if the very strategies that financial advisors recommend are actually the biggest wealth destroyers in history? I'm Pommy Kitty, and along with my sister Nancy, we've built a $400 million multifamily real estate empire in just 6 years. We've helped thousands of investors generate over $93 million in tax savings. But here's what's going to blow your mind. We don't actually own any of it. And that's precisely why we're rich. See, most people think wealth is about accumulation. Get a good job, save money, buy a house, invest in your 401k, and hope for the best. But that's the middle class trap that keeps 99% of people financially imprisoned their entire lives. The wealthy play by completely different rules. Rules that aren't taught in schools, aren't discussed by financial advisors, and definitely aren't promoted by the banking system. Because if everyone knew these rules, the entire financial system would collapse overnight. Today, I'm going to pull back the curtain and reveal the three secrets that separate the wealthy from everyone else. But before we dive in, let me show you exactly how the banking system is using your money to make themselves rich while keeping you poor. Here's what 99% of people don't understand about banks, and this is going to make you angry. You think you're being smart by saving money, right? You deposit your paycheck, maybe put it into a savings account earning 1% interest, and you feel secure. But here's the truth that'll make your blood boil. The moment you deposit $1,000 into your savings account, the bank doesn't just let it sit there collecting dust. They immediately lend out $800 of your money to investors just like me at 6, 7, or even 8% interest. This is called fractional reserve banking, and it's the biggest scam in the financial history. So while they're paying you pathetic 1% on your money, if you're lucky, they're making 7% on the same money by lending it to people who actually understand how wealth works. Let me break this down with some real numbers. So if you have $100,000 in a savings account earning 1%, you make $1,000 per year. Are you following me so far? But that same $100,000 when lent out by the bank at 7% earns the bank $7,000 per year. The bank keeps $6,000 of profit from your money while giving you crumbs. And this doesn't even include the $120 billion that they rake in from those 29.99% credit card that you're probably paying interest on. I hope the irony doesn't escape you here. You deposit your money at 1%, then you use your credit card and carry a monthly balance, which comes from a pool of money that includes your own deposits, and the bank turns around and charges you 29.99% on your own money. You're literally paying them to lend you back your own cash at 30 times the rate they're paying you for it. But it gets worse. Because of inflation, that 1% you're earning isn't even keeping up with the declining value of money. So you're not just earning nothing, you're actually losing purchasing power every single year. You're literally paying the bank to make you poor. Because here's the truth, in an inflationary environment, which we've had for at least the past 50 years, and will continue to have, savers are losers and borrowers are winners. Let me give you an actual number that will shock you. Since 1971, when Nixon took us off the gold standard, the US dollar has lost over 85% of its purchasing power. What cost $1 back in 1971 now costs over $7. That means if you have $100,000 in cash in 1997 and you just held it there, it would buy you only $14,000 today. Literally, you lost 86% of your wealth by being responsible savers. But get this, if you borrow $100,000 in 1971 to buy real estate, you'd be paying back the loan with dollars that are worth 85% less than the time you borrowed it. You essentially got an 85% discount on your debt just by waiting 50 years. The average annual inflation rate since 1971 has been around 4% per year, but your savings account pays you 1% if you're lucky. That means every single year, you're losing about 3% of your purchasing power. Over a decade, that's a 30% wealth destruction just for being a saver. And here's the irony. When I walk into the same bank, I'm not there to deposit money. I'm there to borrow your deposits to buy income-producing assets. The bank becomes my partner, using your money to help me build my wealth while giving you pennies. JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, they're not in the business of storing your money. They're in the business of moving your money from your pocket to my pocket. And when you think it can't get any worse, here's what really should make you furious. The government backs these deposits through FDIC insurance, which means if the bank fails, taxpayers, including you, bails them out. So you're not just funding their profits through your deposits, you're also guaranteeing their losses through your taxes. And if you have a deposit over the FDIC limit, which is $250,000 per account, well, you're just playing Russian roulette with your life savings. Do you remember the collapse of Silicon Bank a few years ago? Well, did you know that most depositors at that bank had deposits exceeding the FDIC limit? And there was a huge panic about whether the FDIC would actually cover their losses. My friend Kevin actually had over $700,000 deposited in a business account there. And he confessed to me that it was terrifying. He didn't know what would happen to his money should the FDIC or the feds not step in. At the end of the day, they chose to cover it. I mean, how generous of them, right? But if it was a systemic collapse, no one could afford to cover that. This is like a triple or quadruple whammy that the bank customers must face and endure. You fund their profits, guarantee their losses, get paid nothing for the privilege, and risk losing everything above the insurance limit. What a deal, right? The entire system is designed to transfer wealth from savers to borrowers, from employees to investors, from the 99% to the 1%. And the beautiful part of this, it's all completely legal. Now, some of you might be thinking, but Pommy, I need somewhere safe to keep my money. And you're right. But there's a difference between keeping some money liquid for emergencies and building wealth. The wealthy use banks as a tool, not as a wealth building system. When I needed capital to buy a $77 million apartment complex, I don't save up $77 million. I walk into the bank and say, hey, I found a cash flowing property. Want to be my partner? And because they understand that real estate produces income, they say yes. In fact, for that specific property, they gave us $44 million of depositors' money, and we put in $39.4 million of investors' money, and we split the profits. This is how the game is played. The wealthy don't save money. We move money. We don't store wealth. We deploy wealth. And we definitely don't let the bank use our money for free. But here's where most people get confused. They think debt is bad. They've been programmed to believe that owing money is dangerous, but that's exactly backwards. The wealthy understand that there are two types of debt, good debt and bad debt. Bad debt is consumer debt, credit cards, car loans, personal loans, debt that you use to buy things that go down in value and produces no income. That's financial suicide, and you should avoid it at all costs. But good debt, debt used to buy assets that produces more income than debt costs, that's the foundation of wealth building. When I borrow money at 3.49% to buy an apartment complex that produces 20% in return per year, I'm making almost 17% profit on the bank's money. That's not risky, that's just genius. The banking system is designed to keep you on the wrong side of this equation. They want you to be a depositor earning 1% while they're lending your money to investors earning, again, 5, 6, 7%. They want you to take out consumer loans at 15% to buy cars and furniture while investors use business loans at 5% to buy income producing assets. This is the fundamental difference between the wealthy and everyone else. The wealthy understands money is a tool, not a goal. We understand that cash flow is more important than net worth. And we understand that the banking system is designed to serve borrowers, not savers. So the first step to building real wealth is to stop thinking like a saver and start thinking like an investor. Stop asking, how can I save more money? And start asking, how can I deploy this money to produce more money? But how to deploy the money makes all the difference between financial legacy and financial ruins. This then leads us back to why the rich owns nothing. Now, let me tell you why I probably say we own nothing and why this is the most powerful wealth strategy on earth. This is going to completely flip everything you think you knew about ownership. So when most people buy something, a house, a car, an investment property, they put it where? Their personal name. They think, this is mine, I own this, but this is the biggest financial mistake you can make because the moment you personally own something valuable, you become a walking target. Let me give you a story that illustrates this perfectly. I have a friend who was driving his family to Disneyland. Seems innocent enough, right? Unfortunately, Unfortunately, he ran a red light, hit someone, people were seriously injured, and his insurance policy covered the immediate medical expenses. But when the lawsuit started flying, the insurance wasn't nearly enough. You know what happens next? The attorney went after everything he personally owned. His house, his investments, his rental property, his business assets. They didn't care that he was a good guy who made an honest mistake. They saw a target with assets and they took everything. He lost his home, his retirement savings, his children's college funds, everything he worked 30 years to build, gone with one lawsuit. All because he made the fatal mistake of actually owning assets. But here's how the wealthy thinks differently. We don't own anything personally. Every single asset, every apartment building, every investment, every valuable item is owned by an entity, an LLC, a corporation, a trust, a partnership. So when someone tries to sue us personally, what do they find? Nothing. We own nothing, but we control hundreds of millions of dollars in assets through entities that we own shares in. It's like having an invisible shield around your wealth. The asset exists, they produce income, they appreciate in value, but they're legally separated from us as individuals. If someone sues us personally, they can't touch the asset because we don't own them, the entities do. Now, this isn't just about lawsuits. This is about creating multiple layers of protection against every possible threat to your wealth. Creditors, ex-spouses, business partners, government seizures, tax liens. When you owe nothing personally, you're essentially judgment-proof as humanly as possible. Let me show you how this works in practice. Let's say I want to buy a $20 million apartment building. I don't buy it my name. Instead, I create an LLC specifically for that property. The LLC owns the building, it takes on the mortgage, receives the rental income, and pays all the expenses. But I don't stop there. I also create another LLC that manages the property. Another entity that holds the land, maybe a trust that owns shares in the main LLC. Each layer adds protections and create legal separation between us and the assets. If the tenant slips and falls at a property, they can sue the LLC that owns the building. But even if they win the massive judgment, all they can get is what's inside the LLC, the building itself, and maybe some cash reserves. They can't touch our other properties, our personal residence, our other investments, or any other assets because those are owned by different entities. This is called compartmentalized risk, and this is how the wealthy protect themselves from catastrophic losses. Instead of having all your eggs in one basket, your personal name, you spread the risk across multiple legal entities. But here's where it gets even more powerful. This isn't just about protection, it's about taxes too. When you own assets personally, you pay personal tax rates, which can be as high as 37% federally, plus state taxes, plus self-employment taxes. You could be paying over 50% of your income in taxes. But when entities own those assets, you unlock a whole world of tax strategies that can legally reduce your taxable bill to zero. Corporations get different tax treatments than individuals. LLCs can elect different tax classifications. Trusts can defer taxes for generations. The wealthy don't just avoid taxes. We use a tax code as a wealth building tool. Every deduction, every credit, every tax advantage was put there intentionally by Congress to incentivize certain behaviors. And those behaviors are exactly what the wealthy do naturally. Now, some people hear this and think, that sounds complicated and expensive. And yes, it requires some setup and ongoing maintenance. But let me put it in perspective. The cost of setting up proper entity structures might be $10,000 to $50,000, depending on the complexity. But the cost of not having them could be everything you own. My friend who lost everything in the car accident, he could have protected all his assets for less than $20,000 in legal fee. Instead, he lost millions because he didn't understand this principle. This is why every wealthy person you know owns nothing personally. And it's not about being sneaky or hiding assets. It's about being smart and protecting what you've built. The government actually encourages this through tax codes and legal systems. They want you to invest, to take risks, to build businesses. But they also provide tools to protect yourself when you do. But let me address the elephant in the room. Some people may think this is unethical or that you're trying to avoid responsibility. That's completely wrong. You're still personally responsible for your actions. If you commit a crime or act negligently, you can still be held accountable. What you're protecting is your assets from frivolous lawsuits and creditors who want to take what you've built. Think about it this way. Every major corporation in America is structured this way. Apple doesn't own its assets personally. Apple Inc. owns them. If someone sues Apple, they can't go after Apple's assets, not Tim Cook's personal wealth. This is a standard business practice and it's available to anyone who understands how to use it. The key is to set up these structures before you need them. You can't wait until you're already being sued to try to protect your assets. That's called fraudulent conveyance and it's illegal. But if you set up proper structures from the beginning as you're building your wealth, you're creating a fortress around your financial future. And this is something most people don't realize. This strategy actually makes you more likely to take risks necessary to build real wealth. When you know your personal assets are protected, you're more willing to start businesses, more willing to make investments, to pursue opportunities that could make you rich. Fear of losing everything keeps people playing it safe, which guarantees they'll never build significant wealth. The wealthy understand that you can't build real wealth without taking real risk, but they also understand that you can take intelligent risk by protecting your downside. That's the difference between gambling and investing. Investors protect their downside while maximizing their upside. Once you set up yourself with proper legal structure to protect yourself against the litigious nature of our society, that's the defensive play. Now, it's time to go on the offensive with your money. And what I'll share with you next is what we consider the best asset class to do exactly that. Now, let me show you exactly the asset class that creates more millionaires than anything else right now, and why it's a perfect vehicle for this owning nothing strategy. Multifamily real estate, apartment buildings are the ultimate wealth building machine. And I'm not talking about buying a duplex and hoping it goes up in value. I'm talking about buying commercial grade apartment complexes that houses hundreds of families and generate millions of dollars in revenue. Here's why this asset class is so powerful and why it's completely different from every other investment you've ever heard of. Remember earlier when I told you your money in the bank keeps losing value due to inflation? Well, your money in tangible income producing assets keep going up in value at the same rate or higher than inflation. Don't believe me? Go ask your parents how much they paid for the home that they lived in 20 or 30 years ago. Then go check on any real estate website and see what it's worth today. I guarantee you'll be shocked at the difference. That's the power of owning real estate instead of paper money. Here's an example that may be a flashback to some viewers. In 1985, actor Paul Rubens, best known as Pee Wee the Herman, purchased a mid-century modern home at Los Feliz, Hollywood era, for $415,000. Nearly four decades later, in 2024, that same home was listed for $4.995 million and ultimately sold for $3.8 million, representing a more than 815% increase in value. This is an example of property values increasing over time. Now, why is multifamily the best asset class to create millionaires? First, let's talk about cash flow. Unlike stocks that just sit there hoping to go up, or bonds that pay tiny interest, or gold that produces no income whatsoever, apartment buildings produces massive monthly cash flow. Every month, hundreds of tenants pay rent that flows directly into your pocket. But here's what makes this different from other real estate. When you buy a single family rental, you have one tenant. If they move out, you have zero income until you find another tenant. But when you own a 200 unit apartment building and 10 tenants move out, you still have 190 paying tenants. That is 95% occupancy, which is actually a good standard. This makes it so that the income is diversified and predictable. So let me give you an example. Let's say we own a 265 unit multifamily apartment that generates $1.5 million in annual rent income. That's $125,000 per month in gross revenue. Even after all expenses, maintenance, management, insurance, taxes, we're still netting over $500,000 per year in cash flow. Now, that might sound like a lot of money, but here's where it gets really interesting. We didn't buy this property with our own money. We used what's called leverage, borrowing the money from the bank to buy an income-producing asset, as we mentioned earlier. Remember, being on the right side of the financial system. In this example, we put down $5 million, we borrowed $15 million from the bank, so our total investment was $5 million, but we earned cash flow on a $20 million asset. That's a 10% cash on cash return on our investment capital. Beyond that, we're also getting other benefits I'm about to show you. Forced appreciation. This is the one time that forcing something is a good idea. So this is where multifamily real estate becomes like a money printing machine. Unlike stocks where you have no control over the prices, or bonds where the value is fixed, with multifamily buildings, you can literally force value to increase. Here's how it works. When we buy a property, we immediately start what's called a value add program. We can either renovate units, upgrade amenities, improve management, and raise rents to market. Maybe a simple $5,000 renovation per unit may allow us to raise rent by $200 per month. Another way to add value is improving the property's operations. This can be done through hiring a better property management team that does a better job at creating income, reducing expenses, maybe negotiating better contract service terms. We've seen properties where the ownership team is mostly absent and expect the property management team to do all the heavy lifting. That's not going to work. It's like expecting the worker bees to run the show, not knowing that without the queen bee, the hive is completely lost. Now, here's the magic. In commercial real estate, properties are valued based on the income, not comparable sales like residential real estate. There's a formula called the capitalization rate or cap rate that determines value. And here's the formula. Value equals net operating income divided by cap rate. So if we increase the net income of a property by $200,000 per year through rent increases, reduction expenses, and the cap rate remains the same, let's say it's 5%. We've just increased the property's value by $4 million. We spent $1 million in renovations and created $4 million in value. That's a 300% return on investment. Third, and this is where it gets beautiful, tenants pay down your mortgage for you. Every month, part of the rent payment goes towards paying off debt on the property. You're building equity without ever spending a dime of your own money. This means if anything goes wrong with the property, your personal assets are protected, but more importantly, you're unlocking massive tax advantages that most people never ever knew existed. And this brings me to the most powerful part of this entire strategy, legally paying zero taxes on millions of dollars in income. This is where the government actually becomes your partner in building wealth, whether they realize it or not. In the past 6 years, our investments have saved our investors $93 million in taxes, not reduced, eliminated. And it's all completely legal because of how we structure these deals and take advantages of tax laws that Congress specifically created to encourage real estate investments. Let me break it down exactly how this works, because this is a secret that separates the wealthy from everyone else when it comes to taxes. First, let's talk about depreciation, the most powerful tax strategy in existence. When you own multifamily estate through the right entity, the IRS allows you to depreciate the property. This means you can show a paper loss on taxes even while the property property is cash flowing and appreciating in value. Think about how insane this is. You buy a $10 million apartment building. Every year, it generates $500,000 in cash flow that goes into your pocket. Every year, it appreciates in value by $300,000. But on your tax return, it shows a $400,000 loss because of bonus depreciation. So you're making $800,000 in real wealth, but the IRS says you've lost $400,000. Only in America, right? But it gets even better. That $400,000 of paper losses doesn't just disappear. It can be used to offset other income. If you have a W-2 job making $200,000 and the depreciation loss can potentially eliminate your entire tax bill on your salary. If you have a status as a full-time real estate professional, you're literally getting paid by your employer and paying zero taxes because of your real estate investments. Now, let me explain to you why the government allows this to happen. They want people to provide housing. They want private investors to take the risk of buying and improving and maintaining rental properties so the government doesn't have to. So they created these massive tax incentives to encourage real estate investments. But most people don't know about these incentives, and even few people know how to use them properly. That's why 99% of people pay full taxes while the wealthy pay nothing. Let me give you a real example from our portfolio. We bought a 190-unit property for $16.5 million. We did what's called a cost segregation study. This is where you hire engineers to identify components of the building that can be depreciated faster than 27.5 years. Things like carpets, appliances, landscaping, parking lots. These can be depreciated over 5, 7, or 15 years instead of 27 and a half. For that property, through cost segregation, we were able to accelerate about $19.435 million in depreciation in the first year. Yes, you heard that right. Almost a depreciation of the entire building, all in the first year. And this is enough to offset millions of dollars. But wait, there's more. Trump just signed the Big Beautiful Bill, which brought back 100% bonus depreciation. This allows us to depreciate certain property improvements immediately in the first year instead of spreading it over multiple years. So if we spent $2 million renovating the property, new kitchens, new flooring, new HVAC systems, we can deduct the entire $2 million in year one. Combine that with cost segregation, we might save $10 million in year one deductions on the property that's actually making money and going up in value. Now, people may hear this and think, but what happens when you sell the property? Don't you have to pay back all that depreciation? And the answer is sort of. In fact, there's a recapture cap at 26.5% if you sell. But the wealthy never sells. They do something called 1031 exchange. A 1031 exchange allows you to sell a property and roll all the proceeds into a bigger one without paying any taxes. You can defer taxes indefinitely as long as you keep trading up to larger properties. This is how a wealthy family builds generational wealth. They never trigger taxable events. Let me show how this works in practice. You buy a $5 million property, depreciate it for 10 years, then sell it for $8 million. Normally, you pay taxes on the $3 million capital gain, plus recapture taxes on the depreciation you took. But with 1031 exchange, you can roll the entire $8 million into a $15 million property with $7 million in new debt. Now you have a bigger property generating more cash flow and more depreciation. You repeat this process every 5 to 10 years, consistently trading up to larger properties, deferring taxes forever. When you pass away, your heirs gets what's called a step-up basis, which means they inherit the property at the current market value and all those deferred taxes disappear forever. This is how wealthy families pay zero taxes for generations while building massive real estate empires. But the tax benefits don't stop at depreciation. When you structure deals properly through entities and unlock even more strategies, you can deduct business expenses, travel costs, professional fees, and even some personal expenses if they're related to your real estate business. You can take advantage of something called the real estate professional status. If you or your spouse qualifies as a real estate professional under the IRS rules, you can use real estate losses to offset any type of income, W-2 wages, business income, investment income, everything. Most high income earners are trapped in what I call the tax prison. They make good money, but they pay 35 to 50% in taxes because they only have W-2 income with no deductions. But real estate investors live in a complete tax universe where the more money you make, the less taxes you pay. And this isn't some loophole that might be closed. These are intentional policies created by Congress to encourage real estate investments. The wealthy understands that taxes are the biggest expense in most people's lives. The average American pays more in taxes than they do for housing, food, and transportation combined. But through proper real estate investing and entity structures, you can literally reduce that tax bill to zero while building massive wealth. This is why I say multifamily real estate isn't just an investment. It's a tax elimination strategy disguised as an investment. You're not just building wealth, you're keeping money by legally avoiding the biggest wealth destroyer of all, taxes. And the beautiful part is the more successful you become, the more tax benefits you'll get. It's a complete opposite of the W-2 war, where the more you make, the higher percentage you pay in taxes. In real estate, success breeds more success and wealth breeds more wealth. So let me ask you this. Are you going to keep playing the game the way the banks want you to play it? Deposit your money so that they can lend it to people like me at 7% of what they pay you. Or are you ready to flip the script and start thinking like the wealthy? Remember the three secrets. Banks are using your deposits to make themselves rich while paying you nothing. The wealthy owns nothing personally, but control everything through entities. And multifamily real estate is the ultimate vehicle for building wealth while legally eliminating taxes. The choice is yours. You can continue being the bank's customer, or you can start being their partner. You can keep owning assets that makes you a target, or you control assets while owning nothing. We got rich by understanding these systems and using them to our advantage. And now you know exactly how to do that.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.